This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok, and we're here for, you say the name, and I'll do my dance.
And this particular episode is The Bad Batch Report. That was a perfect timed a bit of comedy there. Because I was like, hey, we're doing video now. I can literally physically throw to you. And I put my hands to the incorrect side of the screen to indicate, well, you made your beautiful, monstrous Lurkahound roar.
Well, we did that last week, and that's my problem. I'm trying to – it was more of a Imperial officer being eaten. Shriek.
That was a really good one, as well as the stormtrooper being blasted away, which is by the ship taking off, which I'm sure will take up half of our episode talking about that beat and the wonderful noise that he made. There's a lot of great noises in this one, I thought.
There was. Absolutely.
But we're happy to be here making noises, pointing the wrong direction as we talk about Season 3, Episode 4 of The Bad Batch. This episode is titled A Different Approach. It is directed by Saul Ruiz, written by Ezra Nachman, story editor Matt Machenowitz, score by the whole Kiner group. Kevin Kiner, Sean Kiner, Deanna Kiner. We like pointing that out because, hey, all those Kiners deserve their moment in the audio spotlight. Ken, we had such a great time discussing the first three episodes. We were moved by the first three episodes, but it was also just sort of like a lot to absorb, a lot to process quickly and discuss. What was your overall reaction to this one episode as you went in knowing that there's going to be less to absorb? Did you end up enjoying the less absorption?
I did. And like we said last week, and Jennifer agreed, and Jennifer, a last second schedule issue and couldn't join us today, we'll point out. I'm okay with the three. It just, I think maybe because I'm older, maybe because I'm tired. I don't know. I appreciate one, maybe two. I had no pressure going into this episode. I didn't stay up late. I woke up early, had a nice bowl of cereal and some coffee, and knew I had time to just spend all the time I wanted with this episode. So old man speaking, I know, but I liked it.
You know what? The food analogy strikes me as great. It's because sometimes, you know, you're just starving and you want to make that frozen pizza disappear as fast as you can because the next slice only makes you want another slice. And other times you want to savor. You know, I don't know if you ever use a fork and knife on a frozen pizza, but just cut it into teeny bites.
And a burrito as well. But yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I enjoyed savoring this episode. I realized at 10:30, hey, I'm kind of wide awake. I'm going to stay up till midnight like olden times. And I was made sad a little bit again, as I am every day about the sort of shattered social media experience. You know, you're not getting the same experiences. People are spread across eight different social media sites. But I did see a couple of people skeeting, tweeting, whatever verb you're threading about it. So it's a little bit of that sense of community, not anywhere near what it used to be for the midnight drops. But it was really, really nice to just stay up and feel like I'm watching it as it's dropping. No notes in front of me, no computer in front of me, just letting the episode wash over me. Go to sleep. Dream about Bad Batch. Dream about space ostriches running over TK stormtroopers. Absolutely. And then wake up and give it a deeper dive. I think what I really enjoyed about it is that it was, it had some surprises for me, but it was also really what I expected and wanted, which was this connecting tissue episode. As I was about to hit play, I was like, I really just haven't even thought much about what's the next beat. And I was like, well, I think it's going to be about Omega and Crosshair coming together with Hunter and Wrecker, but how, from what perspective, how does it happen? And what are we going to focus on emotionally in this connective tissue episode? So I was really delighted to see how emotional the episode was for something that I think some people might just go like, it was moving plot pieces around. They had to get them together, but is always just knocked out of the park to me with the emotions about seeing Omega's growth. How much is Crosshair willing to change? All that great stuff. And what I just delighted in, I was really, you know, waiting for it to cut as they escape from the planet and cut to the credits. So I didn't honestly think that we would get the beautiful reward and the beautiful tension in those final shots. And, you know, I went to bed with a tear in my eye and I liked it. how did you feel about kind of what this episode was?
I'll start at the end. This was the one benefit you enjoyed by watching it midnight. When I sat down this morning, the thumbnail had Wrecker and Hunter in it. Disney Plus. So I actually, as they were escaping, I think I kind of had the same thought as you. Like it felt like that I was like, oh, well, wait a minute. We gotta. That'd be odd if they weren't in this. So all that to say, I'm with you in an episode that you're kind of like, this is logically what would happen next. I'm always bad at predictions about what's coming down the line with shows because I just want to take it in and see what's going on. But this one made a lot of sense to me. And it's one of those cases of your favorite band releases a new song and it sounds like them and it's kind of what you expected. And therefore, you enjoy it even more because of that. We're all up for experimentation, different episodes, different approaches. I think last season, especially with the Crosshair stuff, delivered different things. The Tech Riot Racing episode was a change of pace I enjoyed while keeping in line with the bigger picture. And this was, they are escaping. They're on the run and it's a character study. It is even going into this season, we all had talked about, well, you know, Crosshair and Omega are going to be getting out together. And that's a good pairing and we can explore a lot of things with that. delivered and all that. And then, yeah, the ending with the reunion. I love where it cut off. We'll talk about that. But the warmth there, the joy, the emotional payoff just for that beat, I really enjoyed them deciding to do that here and now.
Yeah, yeah. It was a beautiful, beautiful reward to a really fun and interesting episode. So let's get into the ideas, Ken. What for you was the big theme? What ideas were at stake in this episode?
There's some big overriding ones of what I put down as a push toward hope, that the Star Wars, idea of saving what you love, helping, empathy, compassion, comments on a transactional society. All there. But I really focused on, and a little bit of my overall reaction is I love this. This is one of my favorite Omega episodes. This is one of my favorite Crosshair episodes. And that's saying a lot because The Outpost is still probably one of my favorite episodes of Star Wars television from last year.
And Solitary Clone. He had two bangers last season.
Yes. It's like when George Harrison released one or two songs a track during the Beatles. He's Crosshair and George Harrison. The same in my mind.
The second season of The Bad Batch is like the day Jolene and I Will Always Love You were written on the same day by Dolly Parton.
Love it. I'm waiting for Crosshair's All Things Must Pass album. But all that to say, the big thing that I took away from this, the big connection for me, was the fear behind change. We always talk in Star Wars of change, and it's never easy. It's never to be treated as easy. But I thought this had a lot of just a bit of a rumination on, yes, through Crosshair, but all of us, what that fear is, where it comes from, and how that then manifests into other situations. Crosshair clearly having to slowly release his control in the situation and his emotions. And it wasn't just about this episode called A Different Approach, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. It wasn't just simply, it wasn't about blasters, no blasters. Mm-hmm. There was an exchange in both their ways. The great moment, I'm sure it's on your list too, of like, my skills aren't being used here. Noted. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just simply Crosshair finds a way to peacefully get through things. It wasn't simply that. That's there. But his reticence to change, all leading to what we see the fear is. Like, I ran out. I made a choice. Maybe I have some shame. Maybe I don't have shame about what I did then, but I've changed. Whatever it is, it's this fear of returning to love, this fear of getting to a new spot in your relationship. We all have it, man. I recently made some changes in my life, and that affected some people in my life, and I'm trying to find a way back. And sometimes you just like, you don't want to sit in front of them in a Mexican restaurant going, sorry, I still love you, and do you love me? Like, you know, it's very vulnerable. This was a very vulnerable episode for Crosshair that exposed the fear behind change.
Yeah, no, it is. It is totally that feeling of letting down your armor. And it's almost harder to let down your armor to someone that you have loved and hurt, or loved and been hurt by. Mm-hmm. And yes, I have some things in my life too, like, wow, yeah, man, it's much easier to face an unknown, or kind of a scary or a new, or you know this person is always difficult, then you know what to do. If you're going into a situation where like, this is always a problem, it's not fun, but you put your armor on. You go into a situation where in order for this to be good, I have to take a step forward, but taking a step forward terrifies me because I know that feeling of being I think from Crosshair's perspective has been hurt by the Bad Batch, by the squad, by Hunter and Wrecker. But man, was that shot ending on that shot of Omega being hopeful of like, I brought the family together. And Hunter and Wrecker being like, you sold us out real bad multiple times. Tech is the one who had the heart to not give up on you. We went along with it. It got Tech killed and Omega taken. What are you? Just the look on their faces was really like, you first, buddy, you first, which I think goes to everything you're saying about one of the major themes of the episode being Crosshair's ability to change. And such a beautiful image of that at the end of literally your move, buddy.
One of the things I love about that ending, even as I hear you describe it in a little bit more detail as you connected to it, is, you know, I don't know, maybe it's safe to assume that we're going to have some of the moments we talked about. Wrecker will be like, all right. Like, who knows? I have a feeling they're going to find some way forward, right?
Wrecker might give him a new scar.
Yeah, maybe they fight for that's my hope, and that's my prediction. Even if, yeah, they're going to find a way forward. But I like that it isn't about that in this episode for Crosshair. We right now don't know. The point was getting there. The point is him in front of them. And him finding that way. And you mentioned it. I think it's easy to say, yes, Crosshair has done a lot of horrible things. This isn't me saying, from his point of view, the Jedi evil. No, he made some decisions, but there's some, if you're just taking the Star Wars out of it, when he says, you know, a few times, and he said it to them, you left me behind. That's, you might be able to say, well, that's, you know, Crosshair, but X, Y, and Z, you did this. But from his perspective in that moment, it's true. So he's carrying a lot of that. He's got to let go of that. He's got to find that way forward. He's got to run. He wants to run to the spaceport, but Batcher's over there. And that just is his emotions, right? And having to go face whatever that is. So I like that this episode was like, the point was getting him there.
Yeah.
The point is all of us getting there. And what happens next, we'll find out.
Yeah, absolutely. I really love this. I think there's a lot of stuff with Omega and about the state of the galaxy that I'm really interested in. But the Crosshair stuff is so vital to the big picture story of Bad Batch, because what the disagreement between Crosshair and his brothers has been is the rest of Bad Batch going, hey, the entire galaxy changed on us. We need to change, too. And Crosshair's perspective is no. It's not nuanced. Yeah. It's I refuse to change. I so deeply refuse to change that I will sell you out. I will attack you when you offer to pull me off of Kamino because it's falling apart. I will say no and then blame you for hurting my feelings, blame you for abandoning me when you wouldn't leave, when Crosshair wouldn't leave. So much of what his perspective has been is an unwillingness to change. And one that is literally presents itself throughout the show in a physical way of literally not willing to come along. And so he's already gone through a lot of change we see by reaching out to the Bad Batch to warn them that Omega is in trouble. To have that amount of guilt to say, I'm just a savage beast who can't change, who did nothing but hurt people. So just leave me here. I deserve to rot, which is the way we interpreted his not wanting to be a part of Omega's rescue plan and her insistence of like, no, we're going to escape this together. You're my brother. And he changes enough to go, okay, I'm going to escape with you. Okay. I'm going to follow your lead. I'm not going to kill Emery.
Right.
You know, and now he's being asked again and again in this episode. Basically, the question is like, how much can you change? He's accepted that he needs to change, that the Empire is not going to let him just be a soldier. He's going to be a corpse and a tool and a torture victim to them. So he's willing to change a little bit. He's willing to care for Omega. And then this whole episode is, like you're saying, him clinging to what he knows of, you know, I love that line of, I can take out at least half before they know what's happening. And then, you know, Omega saying to him at one point, watch and learn.
Yeah.
And there's this, there's so much about that's about him trying to learn to do things a different way, a different approach. How much is he going to change? Literally, I can go my way and take the money and do the brutal survival thing, or I can put myself at risk and say connection and family is more important. But there's also this thing going throughout it that I really liked in the first three episodes, which I may be cruelly calling the Twilight of the Elders. Maybe I should call it the Passing of the Torch. But just that the show has shifted from Omega being a child who needs instruction and care to incredibly competent, who has knowledge now that they don't have, and particularly Crosshair doesn't have. When Crosshair last saw her, there's a real Han, like, energy from Return of the Jedi. Luke, he's a kid. He can barely take care of himself. And like, you missed out on something, some stuff, Crosshair. She understands the galaxy way better. She knows how the Empire works. She understands how much greed is a motivation for other people. She really can navigate the galaxy in ways that Crosshair can't and doesn't. And the fact that she says, watch and learn, it is about him being willing to change, being willing to literally take a step forward and closer to someone else. But I think a lot of it is also about him having to sink in that idea of that change that comes to all of us with age of the world moves on and younger people learn things that I don't know. And can I change when you're aging? Can you change in this way that's accepting a younger person knows things that I don't?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should let them take the lead rather than insisting they're naive, which he does, insisting your way's not going to work, which he does. And so, they come to this beautiful compromise where he's like, okay, I didn't know a lot of the stuff that you knew and you led us really, really far. And now when the time comes, can I contribute my old way that I know how to with your permission, young one? Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful episode about change and growth and passing the torch. And I think it's going to only continue. I think this season really might end with Omega is fully formed and the Bad Batch are the mentors who are retiring.
Yeah, I'm exploding out of my soul here with responses and add-ons to what you're saying. I really love where you're going with this. Apologies, folks. Jen couldn't be here today, but like we've talked often now. Once she brought in the tale of, you know, her oldest daughter is predicting Omega's lines and connecting to her in a way that, you know, maybe you, I, or Jen or others wouldn't, because why would we? It was real powerful to me. I keep bringing it up because it keeps kind of hitting me in a special way. So this is what this is about. And I put down the note too. I forgot to mention it in my overall, but this episode highlighted where she, Omega, is now and all the lessons and experiences she's learned along the way, right? All the lessons are coming to roost here. But what you're saying reminds me what's so important. Have you ever like not seen a nephew or a younger cousin? And last time you saw them, they're 12 and then now they're 21 and you're kind of like, do you like playing ball in the playground? They're like, I have a job. Like you just like, you have to realize I had a moment. I remember I was playing softball at a church picnic and like, I was like 12 or 13 and I was playing catcher and there was a play at the plate. And one of the older guys, I probably thought he was 50. Now he was probably 22, jumped in front of me and took a throw to make the play. And then later on a similar thing happened and he couldn't get there in time. And I made it. I made the play. He came up to me afterwards and goes, I want to apologize. I didn't think you could handle it. And you did. And I shouldn't have done that. I should have let you do what you felt you could do in that moment. And that stuck with me. It's seventh grade. I'm like 12. Little Kenny thought he was going to be a major league baseball player. And I was like, well, of course I could do it. But I hear there's a lot of that going on. Crosshair's not there yet. He maybe hasn't come to the apology moment with her. And I think that's a lot about what Crosshair is. I think Crosshair, we all have that. This now attaches into a little more change with the batch. But like, I think he's in his own way has said, I'm sorry. And that's where he wants it to end. And that's sometimes the easier thing. Mm-hmm. The easier thing is to go, I'm very sorry for what I did. I was wrong. Anyways, I'm going to go this way. Have fun. And that's why the journey to get there is important. But that's why that guy from my life years ago could have just been like, sorry, kid. But he took the time to say, that was your moment that you were capable of, and I assumed you couldn't. And I think we're seeing Omega is just taking that. That's the batch hunter. We five times went around this galaxy, but you found us. I think that's absolutely at the core of it.
In the way Hunter and Wrecker are saying it is like in this beautiful awe of this child who is becoming an adult. In that like there's pride. There's like chip off the old block of like, we want you to know that we did not give up on you, cross the galaxy four times looking for you five, but you're the one who found us because you're so great, which is a little contrast to like Crosshair is ultimately pretty great to Omega in this episode.
Yes.
But he doesn't see her. He doesn't know her. He doesn't know her skill set. He doesn't know how much she's surpassed her mentors up to a point, you know?
Yeah, and I agree. And I don't know even why I'm insistent on highlighting it, but even in my notes of just like, it's not, again, it's not that she's like, the children are the way, let us teach you. I got the future. She still has to learn. She's still a thing in progress. So it's like, yeah, if they'd stayed at that ship trying to repair it, things might have been different. You know, if she, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't like she's 100% right. That's why I love the noted moment, because it's like, all right, cool. I really trust you, but don't forget I bring some things to the table that we might need. And I like that about the Omega stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think from Omega's perspective, I have some thoughts on, you know, why it is so great that the moment where she's like, okay, now your way.
Yes.
She's not telling him he's wrong. She's not telling him not to eat that. She's telling him there's a bigger buffet. So for the crosshair thing, I just think it is a really beautiful, elegant episode, because I think he's just a character who just, there's the thing he loves more than anything is stasis. It's things staying the same, and he is dealing with a change in relationship with Omega. He's dealing with a change in time. He's dealing with a change in the galaxy. He hasn't done this. He hasn't run around under Imperial rule and navigate around all the bullshit. He's never done this in all of his missions. So he's changing there, and it all builds that great episode of like, or image at the end of the episode of Crosshair, you've come this far. Are you able to take a step forward? Because it really feels like Hunter and Wrecker need him to step forward and say something.
Yeah.
You know? And I do think he's going to stick around. I do think that Omega's going to force the issue on them all.
Totally.
Yeah. I'd love to talk about the Omega side of it a little bit. Because you mentioned a bunch of things about her understanding of the galaxy being all about numbers.
Transactional
society. There you go. Those are the good words you used. I really felt like this episode, in a lot of ways, was about this idea of what is Omega's value, and the villains trying to make it transactional and quantifiable. That obviously it's moving plot stuff forward, the conversation with Hemlock and Nala Se. But to me, the central emotional thing is Hemlock sees Omega as a tool, a resource, and he can't fathom that Nala Se cares about Omega. He says the line, I never understood your attachment to the young clone, but now it's clear why you kept her so close. Because his motivation in tracking her down wasn't that he thought she was some great, you know, forward movement in cloning technology. She was an emotional leverage to get Nala Se to work, because Nala Se was refusing to work. So he always saw her as a pawn, but then he was always really confused, okay, I guess if you care about her. And the fact that he's like, aha, you never cared about her, and all Nala Se, she has transactional value as a resource, as a tool.
That's a great point.
And then that the back and forth with Captain Man, just the Imperial's name.
Yeah, and shout out to Harry Lloyd of Viserys Targaryen from season one of Game of Thrones.
And a beautiful creep in a Doctor Who two-parter, Human Nature, Family of Blood. Beautiful creep. Yeah, anyway, well, I was going to say, if we ever get you to try Doctor Who, you'll watch that two-parter.
Start with that. Got it.
He's beautifully creepy in that. But Captain Man, you know, there's a lot going on with that, which I want to talk about. But it is also like her value is that little lady can't be good at cards vibe. But as soon as she is, then he's literally extracting value from her, like financial, transactional value. So it's all the baddies are reducing her to what can I extract from her transactionally? Whereas through Crosshair's eyes, and honestly, I think a little bit of the audience's eyes, we see that her value is that she has become incredibly skilled, resourceful, knowledgeable, creative. She understands the galaxy. She's not being naive. She's not being like she has been in some seasons when Hunter and Wrecker are like, you can't trust that person. This is not nice, but we got to do this thing. She's like, yeah, it's unfortunate. I need to scam people by being a card shark. But I know that greed is, I know that transactional stuff is the way the galaxy works. So, so there's all these sort of like, you aren't naive. You're incredibly savvy and worldly, galaxy. But then the heart of the episode to me is that if the question is what is Omega's value, it's this great Star Wars answer of her greatest strength being compassion and connection, right? Her entire focus from the beginning is contact Hunter and Wrecker because I want to be back with them. Compassion and connection. She wants to get the Tantus information, not to destroy the base or expose what the Empire is doing, but we left the other prisoners behind. You know, central part of the episode that she won't leave Batcher. She's not trying to do things her way just to do them. It's because she doesn't want to hurt anyone. She literally says, I don't want to hurt anyone. And then I think the way it all kind of comes together is that none of this, she has reason to be proud of herself, reason to be egotistical or cocky, mm-hmm. but she isn't cocky. Mm-hmm. She's really focused on, I want connection. I want compassion. I want to rescue the people that I need to rescue. I want to be with the people that I need to be with. I don't want to hurt anybody along the way unless my hand is absolutely forced. And then when I need help, there's no strident, you are locked up, you know, being tortured, Crosshair. You don't understand how the galaxy works. You don't know how much I know. It's when I need help, I gladly ask for it. So it's this very centered, balanced thing that I think is hard for sometimes people to pull off in the real world of, I see my value, I own my value, I value my skills, and I'm happy to ask for help when I need it. Mm. She says, she makes a point of rescuing Batcher because they never would have escaped without Batcher. She's happy to give Batcher the credit. When Hunter just wants to compliment her of like, how did you escape? Her first thought is, I had help. It's this great picture of somebody who is confident, but also totally willing to take help and acknowledge help without fear that it lessens her.
It's a very big Star Wars lesson in community. I love what you're saying, and I'd highlighted during the episode and asking, you know, almost to you, like, I think this kind of falls into it. I picked up on anytime an amount of money was given to her, anytime the value of something was given to her, she kind of blew past it and kept herself through it. All right, 10,000 credits, that's stupid, but I don't care, right? I got what I need. Fine. And I'm not saying it's some socialist statement on here, man, take your money too. It's like, got it. Street urchin says, hey, yeah, you got some info. How much? Like, cool. Great. That's, I'm not worried about this number. I'm worried about the bigger picture. And even what you said at the end with Hunter and her giving credit and so readily giving credit, not ready to, to give up on Batcher. Cause also why would you? I'd be upset if Crosshair made her do that. It's just, yeah, blowing past this concept of the transactional society around her.
Yeah. No, I love that. It was a powerful thing for me when I was doing a lot of theater and trying to find the right people that I wanted to work with and how to articulate it. And I eventually came to kind of an understanding of, I want people who agree with me what the goal is, which is we want to put on a really good show that entertains people, makes people think, makes them laugh. And then it's a reciprocal thing. Of course, I feel good when people like my show and laugh. Of course, my ego is involved, but I want it to be good for all the people I'm working with. And the whole goal is do a good show so I feel good and the audience feels good. But along the way, there's all these transactional distractions of even different actors thinking like, do I get a bigger laugh than this actor? Right. Am I in this enough? Am I big enough on the postcard? Is there someone important coming to the show? And that's the only thing I care about. Like that this idea that we can have in life of being aligned on what is the goal that is both valuable to our egos, but also larger than ourselves. And are we aligned on the goal or are we distracted along the way? Do you want a car to get somewhere or do you need a car that shows your status? Like nothing wrong with people. I have friends who collect Corvettes and it's super cool. But you know the difference when somebody is it's all just about status along the way. Even the way Captain Man says, I own this town.
Yeah.
It's all about status and power. And there's no, I feel like if you asked him, well, why do you want to own a town? What's the goal of that? He would sputter and shoot you because the why is just him. It's just power. It's just control.
Yeah. Yeah, great way to look at what's going on in the Empire. Another great, you know, State of the Galaxy kind of episode here. I'm laughing too because I know what you mean. I once had an old boss who's gathered all of us around and was like, I'm thinking of getting a Porsche. Should I? And everyone went, no, you shouldn't get a Porsche. There's no need for that in Burbank. What are you doing?
I love a business meeting. Important talk. This can't be an email. Should I get a Porsche?
Yeah.
You can sense it when people are sort of like, and again, it like Omega in this episode, she's not egoless and she shouldn't be. I don't think, personally, as a personal philosophy, I think enjoying yourself, being proud of yourself, wanting to accomplish things and bask in the glow of having accomplished something. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with that. The part of it where it's wrong is where it tips into that's all you care about and you exclude and ignore others' contributions.
It's why I tell me if I'm off base here, but like this again, what naive, you said she's not naive. Like again, she walks in that bar. She's like, I can scam these losers. Like I got this, you know, catching Bolo and Sid taught me well. Like again, another mm-hmm. lesson she's learned. Go back to those early episodes when she's learning this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But this isn't an episode where she turns to Crosshair and is like, all we need to do is put, you know, a pretty flower in the barrel of these guns and life will, you know, will work. Like
man will realize he's wrong.
Yeah. This, and I wish that was the case in life, right? I really wish. This isn't me advocating for violence, gun violence, war, anything. But it's just the situation and getting out of it. And what is our value, you know, here versus we got to get out and all those things. Anyways, all that to say, like, I really agree with you. Omega is truly and has probably come into our own here and is mm-hmm. leading. And I love that.
Yeah, getting to be very fully formed, and yeah, I love what you're saying about putting the flower in the blaster, the blaster. There is no like sense of, but if we just ask nice, it really is like her sense of like might have to shoot something up eventually, but let's try everything else first. And when it comes time where there's no other way out, she doesn't resist it. Crosshair doesn't have to talk her into it. It's like yeah, unfortunately. No other way to go here.
Yeah, and I like when we spell that out into our own lives. This is, you know, this is a Space Wars franchise, and there's going to be guns and blasters and violence. This isn't, you know, this is more talking about those lunch meetings with your old friends, or you always. I've mm-hmm. loved your example of do I send that angry email or not? Mm-hmm. This is what it's about. It just happens to be this high concept action stuff we're going through with blasters. It's not necessarily that, but that spills out and looking, you know, for justice becoming vengeance or you mm-hmm. know, looking for change. And it's a very Star Wars thing. We're just using these, if you're going to Mount Tantus, putting the flower in the barrel.
Yeah. And if you look at just the violence, not as an allegory for violence, but an allegory for conflict of saying, I have tried everything else. You are asking, you are insisting on something I can't go along with. And mm-hmm. now we're going to have conflict. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Not even violence, but like now we have to disagree. Maybe now I can't talk to you anymore. Maybe I can't work with you anymore. Like, so that was the other big theme for me. And it is something obviously that's tracked all through Bad Batch. We love discussing Bad Batch as a tour of the horrors of the Empire. And it's early, you know, years at this point. Like they've been clear, it's been months since she's been on Tantus. Yeah. So how long this whole time frame is, I don't have a clear idea. And I think Star Wars likes to leave themselves some elbow room anyway. Mm-hmm. But I love this idea of freedom being restricted.
Yeah.
I just felt that viscerally in this episode, that this is what authoritarian regimes do. This is what the Empire does, is just choke you out of the basics. She just wants to get off a planet and unite with her family. You know, that's all she wants to do. But we see the incrustation of the chain codes, which were introduced earlier in the season, early in the show. We got to see the beginning of them. The ships are being tracked. The manipulative BS fines. The literally having to cover yourself. Your face can't be seen because your face is not allowed to exist. That sense of in the dark, cold planet too, that just sense of just your ability to move from point A to point B being absolutely constricted, contrasted with what a bright, friendly, open, let's focus on connections person that Omega is. I thought this whole episode was really powerful in resetting that feeling that Bad Batch has of the contrast of the constriction versus the explosion of light and joy. And it was violence, but man, contrast the explosion, the horror of the constricting with the explosion of the animals being freed. This was some of my favorite action in Star Wars in a while, where I pump my fist, because it started with like that great joke of Omega being, shouldn't we free all the animals? Crosser being like, come on,
come on,
come on. Help me out a little bit here. But there we go. Mm-hmm. There we go. The explosion of what gets the Imperials. It is again, the organic. Mm-hmm. They're trying to constrain all these animals, but just that sense of freedom. All the animals want is to move, to be free. And eat and feed. Yeah. This is yet another one of those episodes for anybody who's just like, I loved Andor, but the rest of Star Wars is childish. Be like, check out this. Because these are the same ideas.
Absolutely. And even just in terms of the Star Wars that evolved to see this galaxy at this time and the claws of the Empire are growing, the grip is tightening, and for Crosshair to see that, you had mentioned earlier, him not having to be on the other side of this until now, it's pretty powerful. Yeah, I love that. We'll talk more, I'm sure, of the saving of the animals, but yeah, it's really clear. It's a bit of a reminder of the why of the fight, of the why of the push forward. I thought this episode had a lot of push towards hope that's obviously coming from Omega's perspective, but I think we'll see where the batch ends up. Are they just looking for a safe haven, or are they still going to plug into the bigger cause? That's something that we hangs over the batch themselves. But it's a push towards hope, and you get to see the darkness and you know, just a government that has no interest in it but itself. Right. And you see what's going on. You see it growing. You see the, cool. You get a bar, you get some games. It's still all ours. It still fuels back to us. There's nothing for you. It's only for us.
Yeah, I really, we've had a lot of, one-off Imperials. I don't think anybody's going to be really clamoring for Captain Man's backstory or a Disney Plus solo show for Captain Man. He's a one, and it would appear real done. We'll talk about whatever beast ate him. But I really enjoyed, and Andor had a lot of this too, the specific Imperial cruelty in this episode. With him gambling, but then saying gambling is illegal, so I have to fine you. And there's a quote that's been going around on social media for several years now that it really made me think of. And the quote is, conservatism consists of exactly one proposition, to wit. There must be in-groups whom the law protects but does not bind, alongside out-groups whom the law binds but does not protect. I think that is... I was like, where did that quote come from? And there's a fun story behind that quote where it's often attributed to the wrong Frank Wilhoit. Frank Wilhoit was a political analyst, but the Frank Wilhoit who wrote this is a classical music composer in Ohio who is fighting with someone in a comment section on a political science blog called Crooked Timber. And this poor guy's giving interviews everywhere being like, I'm a classical music composer. You know, the thought isn't original to me. I just kind of coined it well. And this other guy's a brilliant political thinker and he passed away and whose whole life is now like, yeah, he was great. Didn't say that famous thing. Some music composer did.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. It also sounds like Tarkin wrote it, but from the other point of view of like, isn't this great, right?
Yeah, no, and I think that's what it is. And I, the reason to point it out is I think, you know, there's a lot of storytelling in Star Wars about the sort of the Empire selling safety and security and selling the, like, yes, well, we're firm, but at least the trains run on time. And the trains don't run on time. The firmness is exactly what Captain Man says in this episode. The law is the law. And what he's saying is, I am the law and I get to change it. The law is there for me to do whatever I want and be protected by being the law. And then the actual law is there for me as well to punish you hypocritically. I thought that was, I was affected by that because it was in an episode that is about just like, a young woman wants to go home to her family. The number of different ways she's ensnared by authoritarian control.
Yeah.
This one was powerful.
We always go back to that, one of those Mothma conversations in Andor at the party of, I fear what your definition of I even forget the quote because we say so much. I just got to write it down. But you know the one at the party.
Yes.
Talking about Palpatine and his tweets.
And what a secure society is. I can't remember what the exact quote is, but I think he's talking about, well, it's, you know, it's secure society. I'm like, well, what does that mean?
What does that mean to you? And we see what it means to man.
Yep, we do. We do. Any other big picture thoughts on the ideas of this episode?
No. We hit them all there. And like I said, this was that's one of my favorite Omega episodes. One of my favorite Crosshair episodes. I love the big point tying it up for me. This was the lessons learned along the way for Omega. It all kind of now this season. She's ready to go. Obviously, still lessons. Obviously, still obstacles. We'll see what happens. But I like where we're heading with her.
Yeah, very much agreed. And with that, we are going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a moment for more Bad Batch. Back in a moment.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
And we are back to continue our discussion of Season 3, Episode 4, A Different Approach of Bad Batch. It's so fun to me, Ken. We always, in the second half of the show, we like to talk about the canon, the lore, the connections to other stories, the connection to big Star Wars story. And sometimes it's a real meaty part of our episode. Mm-hmm. And thin gruel on the canon side, I think, in this particular episode.
Yeah.
But a couple things I wanted to talk about. Nala Se is trying to get Hemlock off the scent of Omega's blood and saying the fact that her blood was able to produce a clone that kept the M count of the original blood sample. That result is nothing but an aberration like the clone herself. How are you feeling at this point in the series about the sort of the mystery of what Omega's deal really is? In terms of, like, was she made for a purpose? Is she an aberration with value? Is there a big reveal coming that she has some secret skill? How are you feeling about the mystery of Omega?
Yeah, I've seen that a lot too. I for me personally, as someone who doesn't, dig into the theories and just kind of wants them to play out in front of me, it's pulling me forward with some great big questions. I like the idea that even with, you know, the core of Clone Force 99 is that, well, that was a mistake. But all right, actually, look at this. They're not the normal, but that actually is why they stand out, and that there'd be some kind of secret revelation, or even just a revelation that's not even known by some of the characters about Omega. I'm interested in that. But I have a feeling it's all in Alice's mind there, that she knows it all, but that the value is beyond that with that as well. It is a true connection.
Yeah, no, and the show has said lots of stuff about it, about she's an unaltered clone, and that's what's special about it. The show has, you know, implied that she is, you know, defective but effective, like the Bad Batch. There's the whole blood match, and what's the deal with that? So I'm curious about it. I'm interested in it, but I'm mostly curious and interested about it from a perspective of the show has been, in my opinion, so incredibly well written. If there is any sort of twist of, aha, this was the mystery of Omega, it's going to be meaningful to her character and to the state of the galaxy and to who the clones were, and how some of the Kaminoans, like Nala Se, really felt about the project. You know, I think it's going to be, what if there is some twist or surprise, I think it's just, I'm looking forward to the emotional meaning behind it.
Yeah, same with that. It's not just a stat on the card or a checklist of an idea. It will mean something. And it could, I don't know, could change Omega too, right? Finding your true purpose and, you know, that can sometimes be an interesting game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that maybe, like, the other clones have really had to wrestle with, we were made for this purpose. We took pride in being the best of what we are, the best soldiers, and then that has been taken from it. We were lied to why we were soldiering.
Right.
You know, we were lied to about the nature of the Republic, and now we can't even be what we were made to be, and we're not allowed to try to find something new. With that, you know, the bill being shot down in the Senate and all that. So they, all of her brothers, and arguably Emery, maybe, or in whatever other sisters may exist, have this baggage of, I was made for a purpose. How do I make peace with that? And I think Omega has more had the, like, I have a family and I didn't really get to spend time with them, and I want to explore the galaxy, and I was locked on Kamino. And her sort of wound is, I will have my freedom, and I will have my family. So it'd be very interesting to see, have her have a sort of coming of age story that's like, and actually you were made for this purpose. And how do you feel about it, and who's going to control that, and how's it going to, is whatever your purpose is going to take away this freedom that you so rightly value?
See, that's, you definitely said it better than the words that flew out of my mouth like a creature jumping from a cage. That she be challenged, and that it be maybe her purpose or her reason being in opposition of where she is and where she wants to go. And how do you marry the two, or do you not? Or, you know, it's not unlike some of the stuff with Rey for me. Finding out a little bit more of the picture, and like when you do, like that can truly challenge you.
Truly challenging. So for other canon stuff, for fun, because there wasn't much, I got my little Ouroboros. It's a key ring. It seems large for key ring, but I got this at Disney.
That's right.
Disneyland, and like to keep it with me. And every time I pause an episode to figure out what something says in Ouroboros, I'm always rewarded by it being, it's the most obvious thing you could possibly think of. In this episode, the boxers with animals said caution, and when Omega was unlocking the cages, it said unlocking. It's almost like they're like, guys, Nothing's ever buried in the Orbesh. It's always the most straightforward thing possible. Like, glad you got your cheat code out there. Glad you got your detection ring out there, your little orphan Annie detection ring. But it just says Ovaltine again. Don't worry about it.
Glad you got your crackerjack detective decoder ring out. You're smarter than this. But I have the image of you and some breakfast and a coffee and doing C A U T. Oh, I get it now.
Oh, caution. And the ION looked like an ION. So yeah.
And yeah, it'd be clear. It's just 41 comments or tweets, but sometimes you find out Quinlan Vos is alive, and we get it. We get it.
Yeah,
but
no, though.
I agree with you.
That was the big one. That was in that Darth Vader comic of Jedi unaccounted for. That was an Orbesh reward. So it's out there. I'll keep translating basic things in the hope.
I'm glad you do. I don't have that bathroom pass. It's a gas station key ring right there for the bathroom out back.
It absolutely is. Oh my god, you got to translate this in Orbesh to open the door. It says bathroom. I know. Other kind of canon stuff. Hemlock says, when he realizes that they had been on the planet, track the ship and notify all of our operatives. How did you take the word operatives? Did you take that like he's already got his laundry list of bounty hunters and we're heading toward Cad Bane and Fennec Shan and
Asajj maybe and perhaps Boba Fett? Yeah, absolutely. Think that's what's coming and I like it. I think it makes a lot of sense. That's what Hemlock would do. And again, they don't want to go. How official do you want to go through some of these channels? You know, there's that definitely. I like what we talked about last week of even Palpatine going, I mean, not everyone likes what we do here.
Keep
it from simple.
You have access to the massive bounty hunter account. Just go for it. That's fine.
Here's your bounty hunter credit card.
With Cad Bane's face on it. Yep. I love that. This is the only other canon thing I had. We had a great little horror shot where most of the animals were just running for their freedom. But Captain Man was grabbed by a tentacle of a creaking door and brought in. And then when the vicious beast crate is a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
Stay away.
Not to imply that what activity was happening in there. I think it was. I think that was a nice evening snack for whatever that beast was.
Yeah.
I had when I was watching it. The reason I put this in canon when I was watching it, I was like, "Are we gonna get a full Rathtar shot?" What were your thoughts on the animal?
Oh, I thought Rathtar for a second too on my rewatch. Then I was like, do I have to go do a tentacle comparison? It looked a little thick, but it could be a Rathtar with a CC on that thick. I don't know. I did go there, but I went to some mysterious, horrendous beast I don't want to meet.
Yeah,
I want them to live their life, but I don't want to meet.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that. It was just like, there are a lot of horrible things in Star Wars that have tentacles, and we haven't met them all. And this was one of those moments where like, this is going to be, somebody's going to do a deep dive video or this is going to be on StarWars.com, like, fact file about the episode. And it's like, this is one of those things where it's like, just enjoy it. Because I thought of it as you did too, is like, do I need to start Googling tentacles and compare girth? And like, no, I can just enjoy the damn beat and enjoy the point of it. Enjoy the horror scene. So anyway.
Yeah, this is why we're friends with Alex and Molly. We can just text them. Hey, could you do a 5-minute video on that tentacle? Just could you please answer that for me?
Yeah, the tentacle girths of Star Wars. That's going to be a popular video. Any canon stuff that you responded to?
No. Unless you count, adding to the canon of just stormtroopers. I absolutely loved the design of goggles on front of the masks. And the almost Luke Skywalker like poncho that
poncho wears. Poncho wow. Duster. It looks like a TK Trooper fashion show of like interesting
I'm gonna call them Lao Troopers because that's where they were, but in terms of who doesn't love a new figure to buy, and that I would probably buy that one.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Hasbro is crunching the numbers. Like, all right, how much is it going to take to model the cloth? Like, because the TK Troopers, like, they will be out, I think, relatively soon. And that'll be great.
Yeah.
So we always love talking about specific beats because we dive deep. But we also want to celebrate all those just little moments that sometimes are how the big ideas are communicated or are just a part of the fun of Star Wars. So we're going to smush it all into one big segment. Ken, do you have favorite moments that could be action, could be comedy, could be whimsy, heartbreaking drama, great character beat, whatever it is?
I ended up having a lot, and this episode a little bit more whimsy than the last three, which was for the reason. I just want to start right. I'd love to pick it off right where we're picking up right where we left off. I love the crash landing. I love a good crash landing. I loved everything about that. It was tense, and it was a great way to start an episode that has a little bit of a slower pace in terms of just breakneck action, a lot of high tension, like we talked about last week. It's a good thing too. But I thought it was a great, great beginning.
Mm-hmm. I was really jazzed that, like you said, like it picked up exactly where it left off.
Yeah.
And that, you know, is also one of my favorite beats that I would say is drama, tense drama of the back and forth shots between Crosshair halfway down the ramp. Is he going to move forward? And then seeing Hunter and Wrecker's faces not light up with relief or joy, but really really tense. It was an emotional cliffhanger. And I really hope that the next episode picks up. I bang on a lot about how much I love that Star Wars was inspired, not just by pulp, but literally by Saturday morning adventure serials. And I think a lot of the structure of the Star Wars films, particularly the original trilogy and the prequels, have that. They don't have literal cliffhangers, but they're structured the same way of like, how are they going to get out of this one?
Yeah.
Come back next week. Next week's boom, boom, boom. 2 minutes, but that sense of we just escaped this. Now there's this new problem. I love that sense of cliffhanger in Star Wars. So I love that this feels like a direct emotional cliffhanger of is Rex going to run and hug him or is he going to punch him? Or they're both literally going to go like, you decide. You, Crosshair, you take 2 steps forward and be a part of this family or turn around now. Like, what's going to, how is Crosshair going to get out of this one?
Yeah, we would have to put some bets down. I'm still, at some point, I'm seeing a big old hearty Wrecker hug, but you're right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hedging my bet a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that moment. What were some other moments that you got?
I almost put this up in the bigger theme conversation, but I love what you said about, hey, these are the moments that build those themes that we love discussing. But I love the forget the hound moment and when Omega's not, and it's kind of like, you go that way. I'm going, take the credits and run, kid. Omega was saying, I'm going this way. Crosshair has to realize that the same belief Omega has in sticking by Batcher. It's the same reason he's here with her now. Right. Mm-hmm. And it seems rather simple to say, but I just love how it played out. The back to her, but this is right. And I don't even know if I want Batcher around. He seems slightly annoyed by Crosshair is one of those. I don't like dogs people, which always, you know, gets me suspicious. But I just love that how it played out. Therefore, it was a great moment for me that plugged right into the theme discussion.
Yeah, I love the way it was shot, the way that Crosshair turns back and looks, but we don't know what he's thinking. I think we could pretty much guess. And I like that it wasn't overplayed, just that beat of just bink, money down. All right, I'm in.
Yep.
Yeah, and also just a great moment for Omega that's about, I think, emotional maturity. I think it's one of those things that's easy to say, hard to do, but it's just often the answer when someone you care about is just belligerent and just insists on making a choice that you can't go along with. Like, I think in earlier days and younger days, Omega might have really made an argument, more of an argument. She said he's the one who we wouldn't have escaped without him. And I'm going to get him. It's not a discussion. If you want to come with me, great. If you can't come with me, then I can't change you. I can't help you.
Right, right.
You go do you. It is a great beat for Omega as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, big win all around for it. Well played. Yeah. And we've talked about, too, just beyond just the beauty of the animation, the directing, the shots, what they're able to do nowadays with all this stuff. This is why animation is a true art form. I wish it was as popular or on equal playing field with other things. It's not always the case. I get why, but great example of it here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I had a couple of just like great character beat moments that I liked that, mm-hmm. that were the acting of the animation. The ticket taker person says, lucky I'm not charging extra for the creature. And just in the background, there's a great, very doggy, like yawn and head shake from Batcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so perfectly dog-like. I absolutely love that. A lot of great moments from Batcher. But one of the moments that made me go, ooh, out loud to myself, at 12:15, the Imperial Captain Man asks her if she thinks she's good at this game. And she's got that kind of raised hand and curled lip of like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. It's so good. There's like anger in it, but there's also like card shark. I don't know. If you want to see if I'm good or not, you're going to have to find out with your money, asshole. It's so well animated.
Yeah, it's like she's like, I don't know. How many cards are in a hand? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Jerk.
Yeah, we'll find out. There's some great character beats there. What else you got?
During that, this might be because we just did the big deep dive on Casino Royale, which is available on 007 Center on our Patreon page. But when the droid does the very very exposition, 3 Eastern stars, the game is over. I thought of Mathis.
Mm-hmm.
Lean over to Vesper.
It was definitely some. Card games always require exposition from someone. There was also, I can't remember if it was animated, so anyone was really listening to the droid, or the droid just felt compelled to say, like, well, looks like he's got it. Oh no, 3 Eastern stars. She's got it.
I'm trying to find where in my life I can, you know, use this tactic or say this at a casino somewhere playing, you know, he's hit 3 cherry blossoms. He has won everybody. Like that's, I'm going to do this in my life. It's a goal.
I think you would be kicked out of a Las Vegas casino, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was absolutely great. There's a lot of great little comedy, whimsy moments for me. I could have written down a lot of the interaction between Omega and Crosshair, but I like when Omega has the wisdom to be like, we need disguises.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, see, isn't this better? And Crosshair says, no. he's just such a grump, you know.
I love him.
we can dive deep, but he's also just like, he was born naturally, created naturally, a great shot, and just an ornery MF-er.
Yep. I've grown to love him and appreciate him, even as I hope for him to become better. Maybe that's what I'm hoping for myself. Yeah, I wrote a couple of exchanges of every second we're here, we're at risk. And then quit wasting time complaining. Good philosophy. I like, and if you lose, well, I guess we'll be in more trouble. Just,
yep.
We'll figure it out.
Yep, because it is that sort of pessimism of like, well, that isn't perfect, and like, well, nothing is, so I'm going to try this. Yeah. Grow up.
Yeah, look, it's not necessarily a big theme discussion, but just her kind of going, yeah, and then we'll deal with that. Life is a serial adventure. You're right. We could just stay and hide here and never move forward, or we could find out what's next.
No, I mean, I think it is a big theme. I think it plagues a lot of us of like, well, I can't do that. It's not perfect. Like. Yep. Well, none of the options are. So the other option is sit there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was too invested in this story. When I watched it at midnight, but I watched it this morning, I just cracked up at that Trandoshan throwing their limbs to the sky and going, I'm getting crushed here. He's like, talk about poker face. I'm getting crushed here.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, it's this high stakes game here we got going on, and he's in the power seat. He thinks he's top Trandoshan around here, and the fact that he lost his cool that way. There's some really great comedy for me in that. I love that.
Imagine the Shifra from Casino Royale, wiping blood from his eye and going, "I'm getting crushed here."
Oh, love that.
It's hilarious. What else you got? I got a few more little things.
Yeah, I got two little beats here. One, you might have this too because, you know, we do try to watch with subtitles on in case we miss anything, which I saw being debated online. One of the things that popped up this week about apparently Gen Z and young millennials do this often. Well, consider this me trying to stay young. you had to have written this down. Right when those ostrich-like things are running, it just says creature trumpets. Just love that. I want that to be a song, a band, an album, something. Creature trumpets.
You know, I didn't actually write that down because I was too busy laughing and cheering and writing it down as my favorite action beat.
Yes.
You know, we get both beats. We get the you have messed with a dark, horrible, powerful thing with a tentacle of ambiguous girth, and you are sucked in horror-like, and you are eaten alive, screaming. We get the dark. But it's so like the spirit of Omega. It's so like what Bad Batch is of this is a show happening in one of the darkest moments of the timeline. And here's just this shining light that not only is it freeing animals, like if it had been a bunch of fierce animals and they leapt out and they mauled the TK troopers, that would have been like, that's real cool. The fact that it was bonkers space ostriches, just like, give me the dopiest, funniest design of trumpeting space ostriches to, in a blind panic, bowl the troopers over. The comedy of it, the contrast of it, just delighted me. It's like, that's a great action moment because it's like the spirit of Star Wars. It's like, you know, the Star Wars has got to be dark. There's just got to be Sith and pain and Jedi dying. And then, like, Jar Jar and the Ewoks just... trample over that, you know.
They trumpet over you.
The creatures trumpet over it. It's I loved it.
Love that. I have we are definitely going to discuss the same moment. Maybe that's our final moment. So anything more before that? We get to what we teased earlier.
Definitely want to end on that for just like heartwarming moments. That shot of Omega getting off the stolen ship and staring into the open door and the glow of the ship that is her home in the anticipation of seeing her family. That was just a really lovely, heartwarming shot. And everything with that, the tears, so well acted, so well animated, just a great heartwarming moment.
Yeah, no, I think it really delivered. Talk about good landings. There was not a crash landing. There was a great one there for a moment that we, you know, kind of been waiting for a while.
Yeah, so take us through the the biggest moment of this episode.
I wrote down the note as Stormtrooper having a beat before realizing he's about to be blown off the platform by a departing spaceship. It was pure comedy. It reminded me a lot of some of our favorite battle droid moments. So for those that are a little bit, you feel sorry for the battle droids through the Clone Wars who are just getting promotions and they get squished or kicked off a railing. It just had that kind of energy to it. No redemption for this trooper, but it was that beat was everything to me.
Yeah, and it's part of the reason we talk about action beats because sometimes there's just something like cool, but there's also just that like you watch a lot of Star Wars and you've seen people blast their way to a ship. You've seen people unleash animals to get to a ship before. So part of what makes it pop is not just the emotions, but just like, can we find a beat we haven't really seen exactly before? We've seen people bowled over and we saw it in Rise of Skywalker, but the way this beat was constructed with the wind whistling around the helmet and a little bit of resistance and then just
turns
the, you know,
great
the,
shot.
Just plowing off the screen with a great yell, which this is also a thing I got it. So early on in the run of Disney era Star Wars, they wisely, I think, retired the tradition of the Wilhelm scream because the Wilhelm scream had become so well known, so easy to pick out that it can take you out of the moment when you hear it and it just becomes a Leonardo DiCaprio moment where like point at the screen, Wilhelm scream. But they have said in interviews, we've got a new one that we're using every time in the movies. I don't think they're using them every time in animated series, but that little yell that it was so fast. It was like, my ears always prick up of, is that the new Wilhelm that someone will eventually discover and then put all the evidence together of here it is in Last Jedi, here it is, you know, Mando, here it is, and Kenobi, here it is, and Bad Batch, you know.
I can't wait for that. Yeah, no, that's amazing. Yeah, I love that fun little Easter egg collection there. No, in this moment, I don't mean to drone on about it, but this is one of those moments of this has human touch written all over it. You know, you could type this into an AI Sora bot. Give me a stormtrooper being blown off a platform by a spaceship. It would not take the time, you know, to really put the humanity into this joke, the decision of directing.
Such a great joke. And it's just like in one image, all of that imperial authoritarian control. And being like, nope, freedom. What?
Your cool poncho, your cool goggles, none of it.
Where did your poncho get you? Yeah. Well, was there anything you disliked or questioned in this episode?
I'm excited to really start ramping up. But this is four episodes in. And I've enjoyed what they've been doing, the high tension. Not always the fastest moving of action. I know that sometimes it's associated with the Bad Batch. I've heard the complaint pop up a little bit last week. Those first two episodes were a little slow, and that's a personal taste thing. It weren't for me. Love the tension, but I'm like everyone. Yeah, I'm excited. Every week I want to know what's coming next. So we're gonna get an emotional reunion. We'll pick up that beat, but I'm ready to get some bounty hunters chasing and some ships whizzing and flying.
Yeah, no, and the big emotional cliffhanger being resolved. My only thing I disliked your question is a joke, because I actually do think it shouldn't have been there. But where's the gonky hug?
Oh, yeah, okay. No, I was going somewhere else. But yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, there should have been a gonky. This is
Were you?
It's almost Chewie and Leia not hugging in Force Awakens, right?
Well, at least you didn't walk right by gonky. Like, I see you're here too. What were you thinking?
I put this down, and it's, you know, for those that follow us for a while, this isn't us angering a car. I'm wondering if I like the line, sounds like a you problem, which I like in real life. I don't use as much anymore, but when it first showed up on the scene, I don't know when it was. You remember when, you know, we were like pop culture phrases or how you do jokes show up on the scene. You're like, I like this one. I'm behind. I liked that one when I was younger. Sounds like a you problem, you snicker. I don't know if I enjoyed it there. It took me out for half a beat.
I think it is now in the pantheon of I threw up in my mouth a little bit, or he's behind me, isn't he? When you're talking about saying something like, there are these things that become tropes quickly. They're legitimately funny, and then the life is trot out of them quickly. You know what? Here's my answer. No, I didn't like it, but I also don't care that I don't like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What I mean by that is, I think that things that I think of as modernisms or slightly tropey lines always make their way into Star Wars. They always do. Yes. And some of them, when I was a kid, I didn't know that was a tropey line. You know,
right? Yes.
And either it didn't bother me or I liked it. And so when they come up today, I just like, yeah, yep, that's a part of the deal. So no, I didn't like it, but
no,
but it's a natural part of the growth of like, yeah, it sounds real modern. You know,
yeah, it you know, this was in 2015. I think we would have done 2 hours on this, and you got a boyfriend, cool boyfriend, right? But it popped out just a little bit for me. But all
yeah, good. No, and yeah, there's sometimes in the books in particular, there'll be lots of modernisms, and they will make me just go, that's not for me, but onward. Yeah. And the burning question, of course, now for the rest of the season, the huge cliffhanger we all have to deal with is, will Batcher and Gonky get along, or will Gonky feel like I've been replaced? When Wrecker's doing, you know, weight training with Batcher, and Gonky's just there.
It's a good point.
Entire body. I was gonna say a head hung, but entire body hung.
Yeah. This is when you bring a new puppy home. Yep. Big question.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to touch on?
No, I put a note here about Harry Lloyd, but we mentioned up top. But again, love Harry Lloyd would have been one of my choices too, to be an officer, First Order or Imperial officer at some point. Like, who would be a good villain in an officer outfit? Oh, Harry Lloyd.
Absolute creep. Yeah, I hope, you know what? I hope he's in the new Jedi Order movie as like, some wealthy person who doesn't want the Jedi around.
Great.
Only other thing I wrote down is just, is always the animation spectacular. You know, I can't even imagine the contrast between early Clone Wars and how beautiful and believable Omega's tears were. But within that, I really like the design of this planet. It reminded me of like, what if the Vazquez rocks were really depressing? They got that same kind of cut and angle, but great sense of it's cold, it's depressing, it's not being treated well by the Empire, it's beaten down, all that stuff.
Love that.
All right. Well, we wrap up, as always, with a fun question of if you could have a figure or merch of any character or anything from this episode, who or what would you want, Ken?
We mentioned the Stormtrooper, adding Poncho Goggle Trooper, Lao Trooper to the collection. That's definitely one. I've always wanted an official Star Wars card game set. I think you have it too. I have the card game featured in Solo set that came out.
The Han Solo card game. Yes.
I have that, but a good proper one with weighted credits and I love Sabacc and all those games and I would love that. So the game, maybe this episode made me think about that again.
Yeah. That one, it would be really, really nice. As always, I'm on action figure watch, and hey, I would take just a straightforward action figure of Crosshair. That would be great. This is one, sometimes I make jokes, and sometimes I'd be like, no, that would break me and I would buy that. Mm-hmm. If they put out a Crosshair from this episode, vintage 3 3/4, my preferred size, of Leave Me Alone Crosshair in his disguise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He needed to cover up his face more, but it was such a fun, weird design with that, like the kind of the helmety shape kind of remind me of I think like some of the pilots in Return of the Jedi who have slightly different.
Shape. Little A-wings or whatever.
A little bit of that kind of style. Mm-hmm. But the way it was just all sort of bundled up was practical, mm-hmm. but also like it added to the truth of Crosshair. He is a bundled up guy.
Mm-hmm.
They established that the planet was cold by seeing their breath, but like Crosshair in attitude and in look all bundled up like that is like, that looks like a large portion of Midwestern men that I grew up with in Minneapolis. It looks like Crosshair's put on his emotionally repressed winter weather to go snow blow his feelings away. He looks so bundled up and it's just total like, leave me alone. Don't want to talk about it. Everything's fine. I'll talk about the weather. I like snow blowing. Don't talk to me. I don't have any feelings. Everything's fine. It was so great. So beautiful.
We need that figure. The Midwestern Crosshair.
That's right. Midwestern snow blowing his feelings away Crosshair. Coming soon from Hasbro. I am absolutely sure. Well, we are going to wrap up. Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us and anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we're the Force Center Pod. Some of you might be swinging here through us for the first time, either on the podcast or YouTube side. You can find us on Twitter or Threads at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and Facebook as well, Force Center Podcast. Subscribe here on the YouTube channel. Don't forget to check out Jennifer Landa's latest episode of Jedi Beat, taking a look at the weird side of Star Wars. It's a replay of an episode she put together back in 2016. But we wanted to, as listeners know, we're putting the Jedi Beat back out there in video form and really love that episode. Check it out. Also, you can get merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. On there is a shop tab if you want to check out our 007 Center episode on Casino Royale. We're going to be doing Quantum of Solace soon. Look for that in March, but it's there for all Patreon supporters as well. Follow me at Kednapsock or go to my website, kednapsock.com, for more. If you're in the Boston area, first week of April, I'll be out there with Mark Ellis doing some comedy, and I might be dressed like Crosshair for a lot of us. Sir, take us home. Where can I find you?
You can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. In particular, I'm really enjoying Blue Sky, and I think it is getting better by the day. So if you are missing some social media connection, I suggest trying out Blue Sky. And if you're there, come find me at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can also check out my weekly blog about creative adventures and trying to inspire other people to tackle their creative and life goals. It is called Finish Your Monsters. You can find that by just Googling my name, Joseph Scrimshaw, and Finish Your Monsters. And the thing I want to plug for both you and I, Ken, is Bandcamp Friday. So this coming Friday as we record, how does time work? Friday, March 1st. It's Bandcamp Friday. Bandcamp's a great place. It's got has a lot of music and comedy albums. And once a month, they give all of the proceeds directly to the artists. So it's a great time to support artists. Ken's band, The Moon Angels, is up there. You've got Ken's got some comedy up there. Yeah. I have several comedy albums and a creepy cosmic horror story called The Beast That Ate the Dawn. And for myself, anything that you pick up on Bandcamp Friday goes directly to me being able to make more films. So if you want to help me out with that, picking up a comedy album on Bandcamp Friday is a great way to do that. And of course, check out all of Ken's comedy and music on Bandcamp Friday as well.
Great. I got to put that in my calendar, remind myself to promote it on that day because it's a great thing. But yeah, good call. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So check that out. Thank you for being here with us. This has been The Bad Batch Report.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at byheart.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.